want to talk this morning. We have extended our theme, and our theme is the essence and power of the Word of God. But particularly this morning, I want to discuss something that we all have, whether we're saved or unsaved. We all have this, what I'm going to discuss. And it simply is a heart condition. We got a heart condition. Yes, we got a heart condition. If you will turn with me, if you brought a Bible today, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. The 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And the 9th and the 10th verse. We see things that are going on in our life, in us, near us, around us. We see the things that are going on in the world. We are living in, I believe, the last days. And the Bible lets us know in several places some of the things that will occur and that will happen in the last days. And we can see these things are happening. The love of many is waxing cold. Evil men, and that's non-gender specific, so it means mankind in that case, and seducers will wax worse and worse. Perilous times. We're living in perilous times. And it's because of the condition of our hearts. We have to be careful about our hearts. Sometimes we need to know and understand some of the things that are in our hearts. We sometimes are not even aware of certain things that are in our hearts. Sometimes until a certain situation presents itself to us. There may be some of us who have done some things that we can't really discuss in detail right now, but we thought that we would never do such and such a thing that was so far removed from what we imagined about ourselves. But we did it anyway when the situation came, because sometimes our hearts can be lifted up with pride. And we say, oh, no, I'm not going to never do that. And we say, oh, no, I will never go to that length. And if our heart is not connected consistently to the Lord, we find ourselves doing the very thing that we said we would never do, the things that we shunned and talked about other people for doing. We find ourselves, if our hearts are not connected and if our hearts are not lifted up and opened to a continual examination to God, we find ourselves doing some things that would scare us if we were in our right mind. We cannot put any self-confidence in our own human heart and our own human reasoning and our own human understanding, because our heart will trick us sometimes. Our heart will deceive us sometimes. We can't trust ourselves and rely on ourselves, because in the Bible that you brought with you, if you brought with you one today, it says there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh. That's no flesh. Amen. So we have to contend with our hearts. We have to contend with our hearts. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking under the direction of the Spirit of God when he declared in the 17th chapter in verse 9 and 10, I have the Amplified version. This is how it reads in the Amplified. The heart is deceitful above all things. And it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it, perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? Oh, I know myself. No, you don't. No, you don't know yourself. You think you don't let your heart partner with the devil and play a trick on you. You don't know. I know myself. I know me. That's pride. You lifting up yourself with pride. I know myself. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. I never do that. No. Who can know it? You don't know the things that are in your heart. Some of us are ashamed of some of the things that our heart has driven us to do, and we obeyed it. And we're ashamed of it. Some of us will take it to the rapture or to the grave. Amen. But here God said in verse number 10, I, the Lord, search the mind. What you're thinking about right now, God said, I'm searching your mind right now. When you said, I hope he don't go there, or I hope he don't go there, God already went there. Huh? I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. God said, I'm going to give you what you let your heart lead you into. Don't trust your own heart, because we got a heart condition. Our heart is deceitful. I'm an upstanding citizen. Your heart is deceitful. I have good morals. Your heart is deceitful. Don't trust your heart. Is that what it says in your Bible? All right. Anybody brought some white out with them? Can't white that out. You might white it out of the book, but it's still in your heart. We got to deal with our heart condition. But I'm so glad that God tells us about our heart, and then he gives us the remedy so our heart can be fixed. We need a heart fixer. Back in the day, somebody said that the Lord was a heart fixer and a mind regulator. But in 2014, we don't want nobody messing with our heart. We don't want nobody regulating our mind, because if they regulate our heart and our mind, that means then we're under the control of somebody else, and we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it and how we want to do it, and we don't want nobody regulating us, especially somebody that we can't see, and that's God. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm my own person. The Bible said you've been bought with a price. You are not your own. That's what the Bible says. Jesus was talking to some people in the book of Mark. Turn there quickly as we take a look at this heart condition. Everybody in here got a heart condition. Everybody in here got a heart condition. I don't care what your doctor said. All vital signs are good. Yeah, that's what the doctor said. But the great physician says you got a heart condition. You got a heart condition. I wanted to sing Change My Heart, Oh God. That's what I wanted to sing. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me and make me have thine own way. We need to relinquish our heart to God, but we don't want to turn over the reins of our heart to God. We don't want to turn over the controls to God. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and beginning at verse 21. Jesus is talking because sometimes there's a tendency for our heart to allow us to be overly focused on appearances. Sometimes even our hearts will cause us to be overly concerned with formalities and facades and things that don't really amount to a whole lot of nothing. But our heart, because that pride gets in there, and Lord, sometimes we think of ourselves more than what we really are. We have to walk with a humble heart, with a humble heart before God. But sometimes that human nature, that human reasoning without God, can be so lifted up in pride, no wonder deceit can easily get in. But Jesus is talking to some people because in this one case, they told Jesus about somebody eating without washing their hands. And they was making a big to-do about that. He ain't wash his hands when he ate. That's unclean. See, anybody ever been homeless besides me? All right, sometimes you can't get to wash your hands. If you hungry and you got a choice of eating food and wash your hands, I'm going to eat some food. Amen. But people, ooh, you didn't wash your hands. You don't know how hungry this person is. Just a thought. But sometimes we get so caught up on outside stuff, on stuff that don't really matter. But Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 21, "For from within, that is, out of the hearts of men, come base and wicked thoughts." There's some wicked thoughts and base thoughts that's in the hearts of men. Some sexual immorality, that's in the heart of men. Yeah, that's where it is. And when it's in your heart, if it's in your heart, it's going to show up in your flesh. All right. Sexual immorality. We're living in that day right here, right now, in the church in 2014. There's sexual immorality. There are wicked thoughts. That one right there. That one right there. Wicked thoughts. Stealing. That comes from men's hearts. Murder. Adultery. That comes from the heart. Ain't got nothing to do with washing your hands. You can take a shower all day, but if your heart is dirty, I don't care how much perfume you put on, if your heart is dirty and filthy, you're unclean. Because that stuff is in the heart of man. Coveting, that's in the heart. What's that? A greedy desire to have more wealth. That's in your heart. That's in your heart. Oh, Lord, I don't think I should go there yet. Dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct, doing all kind of nasty and filthy things. Lord, have mercy. I didn't come for that this morning. You got a heart condition. Conduct. Indecent conduct, that is, an evil eye. You looking so mean and hungry for an evil eye. Why, you can't smile about nothing? Just got finished singing, "Oh Happy Day." Was that yesterday? Slander, envy, that's in the heart. Slander. I can't, every time so-and-so get blessed, I can't, they go talking about how they got blessed. You don't know what they went through to get blessed. You don't know how open their heart is. God is not a respecter of persons. If he bless one, he'll bless the other. God don't have no favorites. The envy, slander. Slander, he's going to talk about somebody. That comes from your heart. Look at him. Look at her. Blah, 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 blah. Put his name down. Put his name down for dirt. Put her name down for dirt. That's slander. Evil speaking. That comes from the heart. Malicious misrepresentation. Lie. on somebody. Abusiveness. Just let me say something right here on that. If you are in an abusive relationship, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. You ain't got to take that abuse. Get out, get out, get out. And if you need some help, I'll help you get out. I ain't scared. I don't fight, but I ain't scared either. Just want to let you know. Get out. Tell that individual to beat himself up. Or beat herself up. It goes both ways. And then there's more abuse than physical abuse. There's mental and verbal and sexual and emotional abuse. And that comes from the heart. We got a heart condition. Pride. The sin of an uplifted heart against God and man. Pride is a killer. That's in the heart. I hear the Bible say God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But God hates pride. He hates a proud look, I believe it says in one place in the scripture. Foolishness is in the heart. Folly, a lack of sense. You ain't got no sense. Some of us, sometimes, have you ever acted like you ain't had no sense? That's in your heart. I ain't know that was in me. Okay, that's in your heart. Recklessness, thoughtlessness. All these, now Jesus, this is Jesus talking. All these evil purposes and desires come from within, and they make the man unclean and render him unhallowed. So it ain't about washing your hands necessarily. If your hands is clean, you got hand sanitizer and baby lotion and, you know, get that oil from wherever they get it from, you know, that good smelling stuff. But your heart is jacked up, you might as well keep your hands dirty. But these things are the things that are in the human heart. They're in the human heart. Amen. And don't, please don't think about somebody else, because some of that stuff is in your own heart. Ooh, I wish so-and-so was here. Ooh, that sounds just like, no, that sounds just like us. That's what it sounds like. It sounds just like us. Because given the opportunity in this situation, that stuff will pop up in us, and we'll be like, ooh, I didn't know. And we look around. Sometimes our heart will make us cuss. Saved, sanctified. Okay, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And our heart will make us, will cause us sometimes to cuss. Yeah, and then we look around and make sure nobody saved saw us. God saw you, and God heard you. He seen your heart. Ooh, did I say that? Well, what I meant to say was, no, what you meant to say was what you said, because it was in your heart. I hear the Bible say, be angry and sin not, but they made me so mad. That's all right. But we have the power, if we surrender ourselves to the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, which is the Word of God, one in the same, we have the power to allow God's Word to fix this heart condition. I need God to fix my heart. I'll be the first one to say that. I need God. I need to stay on the operating table of God until the rapture or until I go by way of the grave. I need God to perform that surgery on my heart. I need to open up God's Word. And when I look into the Word of God, I can't have a mask on my heart. I can't play Halloween trick-or-treat games with God and try to cover up from who I really am, because God, he really knows me. He knows my down sitting, and he knows my uprising. He knows my thoughts afar off. And I heard somewhere that he desires truth in the inward part and in the hidden part, in my heart, that is, he shall make me to know wisdom. So the thing that I need to do is I need to come clean with God. What is it What's the use of going to the doctor and having to pay some of these enormous copays that we have to pay? And then when we sit down and talk to the doctor, and the doctor asks us what's wrong, and we don't tell the doctor everything that's going on, and we just gonna give them our I'm gonna tell the doctor everything that I know is going wrong, and I'm gonna tell him what I think is going wrong so he can give me the benefit of his experience and knowledge to help me rectify my situation, especially since I got to keep paying these copays every time I come in here. Wait a minute, you ain't got to pay no copay with God. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary, right? And since he knows our heart anyway, we might as well come before him with honesty. We might as well tell them, Lord, I feel this way and I feel that way. I know I shouldn't feel this way, but there's something in me. God be like, yeah, okay, now you're getting to the point. Now you're on your way to healing when you can express to God what's really going on in your heart. God, I don't like this situation. Listen, there were some people in the Bible that talked to God like that in the Old Testament. Jonah was one. Jonah got so mad with God, he sat down. He said, God, I knew once I went down there and preached to them people that I don't like, I knew once I preached to them and if they heard and they repented that you was going to spare them. That's why I ain't want to go down there no way. At least he was honest with God. He wouldn't say, oh, God, praise the Lord. He saved the Ninevites. No. He said, God, gonna kill me. Can God have that type of honesty in 2014? God, I don't like this situation. I don't like, oh, God. Okay, I'm here now. God, I don't like how my spouse is acting. I don't like how I'm acting toward my spouse. But I'm still want to do it for a little while because I'm mad. I don't like how my mama gets on my nerve. I get sick and tired of her telling me, well, while you in this house, I'd be so glad. Don't speak so soon, because especially if you ain't paying no bills, you ain't got job the first, you ain't bought an egg, a stick of butter, or a cube of sugar, and you be glad when you get, parents, I'm trying to help y'all parents, huh? I'll be glad when I get out of this house. Okay, well, take everything that you bought with your money and get on. Never mind. I was just playing. No, you wasn't. That was in your heart. Because you feel you got an entitlement mentality. Ooh, that was in your heart. Well, when I get 18, how can I talk so profoundly about that? Because I did the same thing. I didn't wait till I got 18. I left when I was 17. Joined the army. And the army's rules is way harder than mama them rules. They had me getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I ain't never got up at no 4 o'clock in the morning. And then get up to run? Are you crazy? Mama let me sleep at least till 6. All right. But it's in your heart. It's in your heart. So-and-so mama let them do that. So-and-so daddy, you ain't so-and-so daddy kids, and you ain't so-and-so mama kid. I'm helping somebody. All of us got a heart condition, young or old. We got a heart condition. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. Not so. As long as we on this side of eternity, we gonna have somebody over us. But the human nature rebels against order. It rebels. There's something in the human. Oh, and it's incredibly awesome the fact that God made us like that. Because he wants us all to come under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, you can have a good heart condition, or you can let your heart stay in the condition that it's in. But I want God to work on my heart. And sometimes, just let me, sometimes the precise and accurate and delicate surgery that God has to perform on our hearts, it causes some pain. It will cause you to shed some tears. Because if the truth be told, we really want things done our way all the time. And we can't see no good reason why it can't be done the way that we'd like it to be done. But I have to tell myself, I'm not in charge of nothing. I'm not in charge of nothing. Further looking at this heart condition, Jesus said something in Luke the sixth chapter. I'm moving to a conclusion. Okay, I'm moving to a conclusion. Luke 6 and 45. Anybody else in here got a heart condition besides me? Anybody else in here needs God to change their heart? Yeah. We'll be honest enough. This is the hospital. This is our outpatient clinic this morning. And the prescription is the Word of God, liberally applied daily. As often as we need it, daily. And the prescription won't run out. You got a lifetime prescription already been paid for. Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Here's what he says. The upright, the honorable, intrinsically good man, out of the good treasure stored in his heart, produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. Question here, what's in your heart? What's in the storehouse of your heart? Now tell the truth. Don't front here in church. Sometimes we want to put on a good front because we know the right words to say in environments like this. But what's really in your heart? Do you get along with everybody on your row? Do you know everybody on your row? Now, first-time visitors, you might not know, but I'm primarily talking to those of us who aren't first-time visitors. How is your heart with everybody that's on the row? Your row. All right, go one in front and go one behind. How is your heart toward them? I hear some laughing. That means somebody's heart getting touched. What are you storing up in your heart? You got to be careful of what you store up in your heart. Can I finish reading this verse? Somebody said, yeah, please hurry up. Okay, can I finish reading this verse? It says, and the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. Here's the clincher in this verse. For out of the abundance, overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what's your conversation like? Your conversation is an indicator of what's really in your heart. What you got stored up in your heart. What you got stored up in your heart. There's a scripture. I thought I had it here, but I don't have it here, but I have it here. It said, guard your heart. We have to be careful of the things that we allow to creep into our hearts. Lord, have mercy. We got to be careful that we're not overly influenced by the prince and the power of the air, who is Satan himself. And all of his, Satan got some auxiliaries. The media is one of his main auxiliaries. We got to be careful that we guard our heart against the filth that is put out in the auxiliary of Satan's media. What they put on the channels, on television, what they put, because there's a spirit behind that, what they put out in the music, there's a spirit behind that. What they wear, there's a spirit behind that. A child of God, I don't care how old you are, you don't have no business sagging. You ain't got no business sagging, because that's a demonic spirit that's behind that. And I might have said this before, but I'll say it again. That came from jail. That's where the sagging came from. It came from jail. And it was an advertisement in the jailhouse. When you were sagging, that means you were up for some homosexual activity. You were a candidate for homosexual activity in the jail. So that's how you advertise. You sag your pants off of your backside. That's where that came from. So now that you know the genesis of that, pull them pants up and put a belt on. See, the heart is deceitful. The heart will tell you, oh, that's cool. My boys are doing that. Your heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. And even if your heart don't condemn you, your Bible says God is greater than your heart. But I'm giving you the truth because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Parents, let your little girls be little girls as long as they're little girls. Lord, have mercy. Don't dress them up. And that stuff too soon. Take the time. Well, this is all they find. No, they got some decent clothes somewhere. They got some. Okay, I'm out here now. They got some decent clothes somewhere for little girls. But this is, I go to the other mall. Go to the other mall. Start sewing. Better yet, you want to be a blessing, open up a business and make some modest apparel. I done gave somebody a business idea. I want my residuals. Call it modest apparel. It ain't got to be humdrum. All right, now somebody going to catch that. It ain't got to be humdrum. But let it be age appropriate. And talk to your children. No, we don't dress like that. I'm trying to help somebody. But see, all that's in the heart. We have to be an example to the world. It's time for the church of God to have the right kind of influence on the world. Hear me clearly, the right kind. We ain't weird, but we need to have the right kind of influence on the world. The right kind. We can't beat them, but we have to reach them so we can teach them and we can entreat them and then give them the truth of God's word. But what they're going to be looking at is how we live. If they see us and they live next to us, they live among us, and we fighting like cats and dogs in the house, because kids talk, and your walls, I don't care how much you paid for them walls, they ain't that thick. They ain't that thick. And especially in the summertime, you might have air conditioning, but there's a window open somewhere. There's a sliding back door open somewhere, and you get to arguing in there and forget what's going on, and you saying all type of stuff to your spouse or to your children or, God forbid, to your parents. and your neighbors is hearing all that stuff, and then you come out Sunday morning going to church. Yeah, oh, look at them heathens. They washing their car. But them same heathens, those same ones who you call heathens, who you think should be in church, heard you arguing Friday, Saturday, and early Sunday morning. When yet and still you going to church and you on them about washing their car or doing their little barbecue. You ain't heard them argue yet. We got a heart condition, y'all. We got a heart condition. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the word of God will fix every heart condition. In Hebrews, I got to move quickly. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter. I'm trying my best to help. But now watch this. You will only be helped to the degree that you allow the word of God to help you. God's not going to strap you down on no gurney and force feed you his word. But if you want help, God's here for you. He's here to help you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Here's what it says. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. I like what Amplified says. Making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Thank God for the word of God. It is sharper. What's sharper? God's word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. See, God can cut through that junk in our heart. He can cut through the false premises that we build in our heart. God can cut through pride, like a hot knife cutting through some butter. Or even better than that, because God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. So that's how sharp and powerful and effective and active and energetic and precise is the word of God. Then he goes on to say, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature. Would to God that we would allow ourselves to expose the deepest part. See, because God's word can get in there anyway, but the process will be more agreeable to us if we just open up our heart, if we just come clean with God and say, God, I'm having some ugly and terrible thoughts. And sometimes you got to tell that to God and God alone. You hear me? To God and God alone. But since nothing is hid from him, get in your closet, wherever your secret closet is. And I hope you have one, but if you don't, build one. All you got to do is just close a door and turn the lock on it and get in there with God and tell God, God, all right, you ask what's in my heart. And see, sometimes God asks us questions knowing the very answer. When he asked Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to find out and to realize the situation where he put himself in because of sin. So sometimes God asks us a question to get our attention, to point us to the very answer of our condition. And we need to tell God what's really going on in our hearts. And then we got to be open to God's remedy to fix it. Some of us been hurt. Some of us have been hurt in more ways than one. And some of us have been let down by people that we loved or we thought loved us. And some of us unfairly put that on other people because we haven't went to God and dealt with that pain. We haven't went to God and dealt with that rejection. We haven't went to God and dealt with whatever it was that whoever we had confidence in done to us or said about us or how they mistreated us. And we put that on everybody we meet from here on out. But God is saying, bring that heart condition to me. Don't transfer that. That person had nothing to do with what that other person did. This relationship ain't got nothing to do with the other relationship. But God said, but the main relationship that you need to get right so you can be fruitful and productive in your new relationship is to get the relationship between you and me right. God said, bring that stuff to me. It's not fair to put it on. It's not fair to transfer that stuff on somebody else. It ain't fair. And it's not fair to have it transferred on you either. So God, so when you get into your secret closet with God, know that his word is sharp. It's sharp. It's sharp. And it goes to the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting. This is what God does with his word. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the hearts. That's what I need God to do. And see, when I have this knowledge, I need to keep this knowledge in my mind all the time, knowing that there's nothing hid from God. Listen, how many of us have made mistakes? Everybody's hand should go up. And you ain't got to think about that. Right? And guess what? We still gonna make some. That's just a part of being in this flesh. Was that my time up, Bill? Okay, just want to see y'all paying attention. All right, okay. I got a response out of some of y'all that I ain't got one yet, but that's good. All right. But no. God knows that we're going to make mistakes. But when we come to him, just come with an open heart. Okay, God, I messed up. I'm not trying to cover it. I blew it. I'm asking for forgiveness. The Bible said, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have a heart condition. We have a heart condition. But the Bible says in one place that Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. So this healing for our hearts, and the healing comes from the word of God. Open our hearts to God. Confess the things that are going wrong in our hearts. Confess whatever the things that have us acting out of the character that God has designed for us, and that is the nature of Christ. We need to get that right with God. And please guard your hearts. Guard it. Don't let junk get in your heart. Don't let somebody come to you and fill you up with a whole lot of junk about anybody, save or unsaved. Your heart can't take it. You may not show it in the beginning, but every time you see or hear of that individual or that situation or even a place, there's something that nibbles away at your heart. Keep your heart clean. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Now, the way that your heart can be clean initially is that you have to surrender your heart. You got to surrender it to the person who bought you, who paid for you at Calvary, and that's Jesus. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died for all of our sin. Knowing the condition of all of our hearts, he still went to the cross. And he died for us so that we might have an opportunity to receive salvation. So I wonder if there's somebody here who has never surrendered your entire being, which consists of your heart. Because if you give your, you can tell when somebody's heart is in something. But if you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you to do that. But I've done too many things. I've acted out in so many ways. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Jesus has a heart that's big enough for all the junk that we've done. When he went on that cross of Calvary, he paid the price for the sin of all mankind. So your sin is not so big that God can't forgive it. But all you have to do is believe and put your belief in action, put your faith in action, surrender your heart. Surrender your heart to God. Surrender your life to God. If you're here and that's what you want to do, you come. We're inviting you to come. Now watch this. I am not inviting you to be a part of a church. I'm not inviting you to be a part of an institution or a organization. I'm inviting you to relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm inviting you to relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you in a saving relationship. He died on the cross. He paid for all of your sins, every last one of them. He paid for the ones you did. He paid for the ones that you're going to do. And because he loves you, and he doesn't want you to die and have to stand before God and give an account for your own sins, he took your place on the cross of Calvary. He took your place because we were not qualified to stand before God. But because of his great love for us, he went to the cross. Jesus knows you've been hurt. He knows you've been abused. He knows you've been mistreated. He knows you've been misunderstood. He knows it. And he died for you. So if you're here and you have never surrendered your heart initially to God and obeying the gospel, the good news, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to give us another chance, to bring us into proper fellowship with God. If you are here and you know that you need to give your heart to God, just come on. Come on. I don't care who's looking at you, because they can't stand before God for you. You have to stand before God for yourself. So put them, you may love them,